How do you learn who you really are? It's not found in books. It's found on the battlefield. What's up, Warriors? Welcome back to the Battlefield of Mind. I'm Rick, creator of the Warriors Way of Mindset, and I'm here today with Tarak Uday, and he is a dream walker, which I'm excited to be able to get into what this means. He's the author of Life is But a Dream and The Structure of the Mind. And Tarak, I'm ready to go out there today. Let's go out into the galaxy.
So let's do it.
Lead the way. You know what? This is your realm, and I can't wait to see where you want to take us. So if you're driving, where do you want to begin?
Yeah, well, let's first talk about going far out there at the galaxy, like you talked about. So, you know, with talking about focusing mostly on dreams, the reason I like to focus mostly on that is because dream interpretation, the way it's truly meant to be through the universal language of the mind, is humanity's number one tool for self-awareness. And, you know, so the outer space, the galaxy's outer space, represents our inner space. And so our time where we're going in and exploring that inner space, you know, because we're not looking in our dreams with our physical eyes or our physical senses or anything like that. It's our astral senses. So when we go to sleep at night, we're closing off our senses to the physical body and our ability to experience our outer reality. And we're going within to experience our inner reality with our inner senses. And it is a whole universe that you can truly explore. You know, anyone with vivid or avid dreams or even lucid dreams knows there's so many things you can do, like flying and things like that, creating worlds that you can't really do in the physical reality, just because of the limitations here in this 3D dimension. But that's why I like to focus on it mostly, because with a mastery of metaphysics, I mostly like to find ways for people not just talk about these things and concepts, but implement them in their life in some way so that they can truly transform their life. And so with dreams, it's the most profound way where we can glean the most insight into the mechanics and function of our mind. You know, our thoughts create our reality. You know, so where do we discover and observe our thoughts? Inside of our mind. And so when we go to sleep at night, we're journeying into the subconscious mind, which its whole duty is to create, manifest the desires of the conscious mind, so we can see what's manifesting for ourselves and what we'll experience and who we'll become through our dreams. So the more we can understand with accurate, like 100% clarity and accuracy, what our inner subconscious mind is trying to tell us, then we can become so much more aware of what's going on, you know, because our subconscious mind knows what we're aware of and conscious of, but also what we're unconscious of. You know, all your dreams that happen at it's nighttime in the dream, that's telling you something of things that you're unconscious of. So it allows you to get light years ahead of anything that reading something in a book will be able to help you with, a video or anything that you or I can share with somebody. There's so much more rich, like active now knowledge available for someone when working with their dreams. So that's why I like to focus on it a lot. And also my whole life, I've had very vivid, wild, epic dreams and always just wished I knew someone who could share any kind of insight with me on what they meant. So I like to make sure I'm a resource for people like that. Also,
I love it, man. I love this idea too. Here's one thing I do with the Warrior's Way is I look at things as though these are skills and abilities and tools or superpowers. Yeah. And you describing your dreams as this is a tool or a gateway, or it's an interpretation to teach you something. This is a skill that we can practice. Absolutely. Now, dreams being a powerful tool. I have dreams sometimes that are freaking bonkersville. I don't know why it's going where it's going, but it's doing stuff that, like, there's nobody I know. There's a dragon. I'm trying to get a mermaid's, you know, watch under the water. It's nonsense is happening.
Yeah.
So some of these things, is it really my subconscious working through stuff, or is my creativity just all over the place? How do I use this tool correctly? How do I do it right?
Yeah. So, I mean, just think of like the first time you saw Chinese writing. It's like, how am I supposed to decipher this? This doesn't even make sense. Like, not even one thing looks anywhere close to a letter that I can interpret and describe. And so our mind speaks in a language, and it's a language of images. And so it may seem very bonkers when you don't understand the language. But once you understand the language, it makes plain sense. It's like people will tell me a wild dream, and I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I don't even know you, but this makes perfect sense. And then I'll share it with them. And they'll be like, oh my God, how do you know me? It's like, I don't. I just know how to interpret this language. It's like, I found a letter in Chinese from a loved one and I can translate it for you. I don't know what it really means for your life, but here's the message. And so, like, for example, a dragon, you know, you might have a dream about a dragon, be like, what was that about? You know, the dragon represents the ego. And so you can, were you battling with the dragon? And so you were kind of like battling with your ego. Was the dragon destroying the town? And so you were having very egoic reactions.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm riding the dragon. Sometimes exactly. I'm fighting the dragon. So it's different things.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you don't understand the language, it will seem like wild. And what in the world does that mean? But when you do understand it, it's so much easier to decipher and decode and know exactly what it's pointing to in your life. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that the dragon was terrorizing the town. And I can see how, you know, somebody told me I couldn't do something the other day. And I reacted to it from my ego and it, you know, caused some problems or some arguments or something, you know. And so it's a really huge insight that you can glean. And the wilder, the easier it is to decipher and decode, I found.
I love it, dude. This is very cool. It really is like learning a different language. I like that.
Yeah.
So do you actually do the interpretations for people when they have like a reoccurring dream? Is that something where like, no, you're supposed to be learning this lesson? How often would you say, because people probably talk to you more, they're having a reoccurring dream?
All the time. Like reoccur, because mainly because reoccurring dreams, it's, you know, you're not getting the message. And so, well, let me take a step back. You know, dreams are a direct reflection of how you're using your mind. You know, your outer reality is a reflection of your inner reality. So what you're experiencing in life and how you're using your mind is going to show up in your dreams. And so if you're using your mind in similar ways over and over, day after day, you're going to have similar dreams regularly. You know, places like right now, the if you look around the room you're in, for anyone listening, that's the space for you to exist. And so in your dream, where is the space where you exist? Your state of mind. And so you'll sometimes people won't really have recurring dreams per se, but they'll have dreams in the same spaces all the time. So that's another thing as far as recurring dreams that I get a lot of as well. But that's because you're often existing in the same type of state of mind, whether it's, you know, a self-sabotaging type of state of mind, a poverty consciousness, or an abundance consciousness, success consciousness. You know, so we often stay in similar states of mind. And so if recurring dreams are typically happening because there's not much growth occurring within you, there's not much evolution beyond the level where you're at in life and as a person. And so it's important. That's another reason why it's important to understand and decode the dreams, because then you can identify, oh, here it is here, what I'm needing to be told. You know, like nightmares kind of fall in line with the same thing, especially because a lot of nightmares are the same. They're actually a recurring dream most of the time, because most of the time it's running from something that either I can see it and it's, you know, I may not really be able to decipher what it is, or I'm just running from something that I know is there. And it's just a matter of like non-learning. Nightmares are just, you aren't learning the message, you aren't receiving the message. So the subconscious mind is like, okay, I know an emotion that you won't avoid and you won't run away from. You'll remember this dream so that you can really face what you're trying to run away from that you need to face within yourself.
Interesting. So, I got one for you then.
Yeah.
I read studies and I can concur also with the ones from my experience. I have a house full of females and all my girls, whenever they tell me dreams they had, their friends or someone they know is always with them.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm doing dreams, I do not regularly have somebody with me, especially the nightmare ones. Now, my nightmares are not somebody chasing me through the house, because fuck that, dude. I'll fuck them up. I'm not scared of that one. My nightmares are an atom bomb going off or a tornado hitting or some huge force unstoppable that I can't, like, you're just watching in acceptance of like, well, we're done in a second. This is like, you see, like, In a few seconds, a blast wave is about to hit us. So say a prayer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's almost like those where I'm in an accepting of fate of like this unstoppable force is about to hit.
Yeah. That's a very common dream also.
Yeah.
You know, I've had that numbers of times.
Break it down.
So you'll probably notice, you know, dreams are a reflection of how you've been using your mind, like I said, but it's mostly the last day, maybe 2 or 3 days. So you'll notice at times when you've had those dreams, especially like the world ending atomic bomb, you know, a bomb is all about expansion, explosion, fire, expanding throughout the space, completely transforming the area where it goes off, you know, because death represents transformation. So three things to remember about dreams is that dreams are they're a reflection of how you use your mind. They are all about you, the person dreaming. So your family dreaming about their friends and things, none of it has anything to do with those people. It all has to do with them. Because number three, every single person, place, or thing within your dream is an aspect of your own consciousness. Because like I said, we're no longer experiencing things outside of ourselves. We're now experiencing our internal world. And so when you have a like death or anything like that happening in the dream, it's about inner transformation, self-transformation. So a bomb going off, the whole world is going off. It's all about, you know, like I said, expansion. So mental expansion, the expansion of consciousness that has the ability to transform your entire way of viewing the world. Everything about you is transforming. So those kind of dreams, you're going through major changes, not just, you know, small changes where a couple people are dying and being eliminated, you know, unproductive parts of yourself are being eliminated away. It's like a lot of ways that you normally act and are transforming and changing. So at the time where you had dreams like that, that was probably a huge, huge shift for you when you were having those dreams.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I don't have high fear. And so even in those dreams of catastrophe, I had still full acceptance. Like I see the bomb go off and I'm close enough that my brain says, oh, we're in the radius. that's too close. There's no chance that I'm, you know, 20 miles away and, you know, we can get undercover. I'm like, there is no cover where we are. It's too close.
And so and that's probably, and that's probably reflective of how you approach the impending change and transformation within yourself at the time. It's like, I'm not afraid of what's on the other side of this. I know that these parts of myself need to change and I need to eliminate them. And I know whatever I'm going into and growing into is going to be better. I accept it. I'll face it. I'm within the blast radius. There's no avoiding it. I've already taken the steps for it to happen, and we'll just see what's on the other side.
I'm not even going to hide. More than matter. I understand what this is. This is all.
Yeah. Whereas a lot of people, it is fearful, the change. You know, that's what kind of keeps them from changing. So it's nice to see that you have that perspective in that approach. And that's probably one thing that's led you to transform so much. You know, it definitely was for me.
Yeah, I can relate. Yeah, there's no fear. I'm not afraid of it. You know, it's understanding loss makes it so that fear has a very low impact on me. Because I'm like, this is not the hardest thing I'm going through. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Things are going to be different. I'm like, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, I got a couple obscure ones for you.
Okay.
I dream in color, but they say you're not supposed to dream in color. Fact or bullshit? What is that one for?
Yeah, that's bullshit. Okay, I have a whole like series of videos called like Breaking Through the Bullshit. But here's what I always suggest for people to do. Don't, you know, one, for anything, not just this question, but anything that you've heard me say, don't believe a single word of it. Don't believe anything you've heard me say, but find ways to incorporate these concepts into your life so that you can create experiences for yourself, because that's the difference between believing something and knowing something. And so then if you're believing it, then you're just relying on whether I'm true or not. You know, if you create an experience for yourself, and that's vital for metaphysics, because like lucid dreaming, there's no way I can prove to you that lucid dreaming is real, but there's not a single thing anyone can say or do for me that will prove that it's not real because of the experiences and the number of experiences I've had. So experience is the separation between belief and knowing. So when you do these things and incorporate them into your life to create experiences for yourself, that's how you generate your own knowledge. And so with color in a dream, it's going to like how you're seeing the dream as far as like black and white or color or very like vibrant, heavenly type white lights is going to indicate to you which area in the subconscious mind you're in. Like the conscious mind just has one level. The conscious mind is the mind that the physical body uses in this 3D reality. You know, the three dimensions, length, width, and height, you know, latitude, longitude, and altitude. So those are the three dimensions we can move within, but we're locked in the present moment in time. We can't go into the future or into the past. You know, we're locked within this singular vessel of space. I can only experience the space that I take this vessel to. Mm-hmm. But in the fourth dimension, that's where our subconscious mind is being used by our astral bodies, the soul. And so the fourth dimension is time. So we can move through time and things, but there's, instead of just one level within the physical level of the conscious mind, there's four levels within the subconscious mind. The very first one that you move into is the emotional level. And in the emotional level, that's why they call them feelings, because it's adjacent to our conscious mind. So we can feel the energy within this reality, you know, the feelings, the emotional level, like just like we can feel the clothes on our skin that are touching us versus being able to feel, you know, something across the room. And so in this level is where you'll experience black and white dreams. Someone who dreams a lot in black and white doesn't really go much deeper in their mind than the emotional level. So me, I hardly have dreams in black and white. I've found that the majority of people, or at least the majority of people that I work with and talk with, dream in more like technicolor type of, you know, just like physical reality type color. That's going to be the next level in, which is the lower astral level. Even deeper than that is the upper astral level. This is like very vivid, vibrant colors, like pastel, bright colors. So a lot of times you can wake up from a dream from there and it feels like realer than real life. And so that would be the upper astral. And then the mental level, the deepest level within the subconscious mind, it's kind of like, yeah, like heavenly field, like white, vibrant, or bright white lights in there. And so that you can kind of give you insight into where you're dreaming within the subconscious mind. And I go into a lot more detail in the book with this, as far as also as far as like what that does for you, because you're, like I said, your thoughts create your reality. So your thoughts of the conscious mind are being implanted into the womb of the subconscious mind within that deepest level, the mental level, until it gestates, just like a baby being born, until it gains more form and density and is birthed out into your physical reality through the emotional level. So by identifying which level you're dreaming in, you can even go even deeper in understanding how far are these thoughts manifesting. So like as far as, you know, having the dream of the world exploding, you know, how far off is this explosion that I'm about to experience, this huge transformation that I'm about to go through? How far off is that? Is it in the upper astral and has some more time, or is it happening in black and white and I'm like in the thick of it tomorrow morning, I'm gonna wake up and things are gonna continue to change?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Warrior, thank you so much for being a part of the information that we have. And you're part of our story as we are a part of yours. It's very much an honor to be able to connect with each other. If you want to know more, or you want to get started with working with me or working with our warriors so that you can begin your path to authenticity, strength, leadership, and accountability, this is the way. Together, we are way stronger. Now you get to choose. Do you go forward or keep doing what you've always done? If you stay where you're at, hey, click on some of the stuff and follow what it is. We got motivational stuff, we've got podcasts, we've got more things. Just subscribe and do the stuff and we'll keep you updated. But if you want to start going in, start jumping into what our programs offer and start your journey and being the hero in your own story. Oh, very colorful.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever gone to like the heaven realm. I haven't done that one, but definitely I'm in color. Like my mm-hmm. dreams are in color. And
yeah.
And they're vivid. They're vivid. I've had only a handful of lucid dreams. So I can't say I go in there and like, I have superpowers today. Like I'm more experiencing nonsense and just working through whatever it is. But no, very in color. I dream in color. Also, mm-hmm. here's another list that's maybe for your BS list, right?
Yeah.
I have read things in my dream and understood them. They say you're not supposed to be able to read in your dreams. It's the other side of the brain. But I have read things in my dream. Like I've read them. Like I'm reading it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember even when I woke up going, I read the thing in my dream. But I also remember hearing that people aren't supposed to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, one, I'd be cautious anybody saying you're not supposed to do this or that in your dreams, because that's the one realm you can literally do anything.
It goes off
without any fear.
Which brain side was supposed to be active? And they're like, that side's not supposed to have that ability. You're on mm-hmm. the creative side and or spiritual side, not in the logic or reading side. That's, that side's not on. That's why they say it.
So, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yep. Please continue.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's coming from a stance where like physical science mostly talks about like the brain and, you know, metaphysics, meta means beyond. So what's beyond the physical? So these are experiences beyond the brain. You know, this is, there's a difference between the mind and the brain. And so that's another thing that people might want to explore if they aren't really understanding the separation of the two. And so it's not really so much that you can't read or you shouldn't be reading. It's just that it's difficult to read in a dream. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but have you ever tried to reread something in a dream? Because I can read things in a dream, but it's very difficult. If I go to reread it, I'll reread it, but it'll be different. And so then it's like confusing to try to conceive. And that's one way that I can activate my lucidity. Like, why can't I read this? This is confusing. Oh, I'm in a dream. And then I take off a clock.
I don't have that skill yet. So you're doing a skill I don't have. I'm experiencing, but I'm not controlling. Like, hey, let me reread that again. Like, that wasn't one of the thoughts. I'm like, oh, I read the thing. Kind of like if you saw a stop sign, you wouldn't go, let me go back and reread that again.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm like, no, I saw the stop sign. I'm not reading it again. Yeah. You know, those kind of things where I don't tap into a lucidity that often.
Yeah. So
I've never practiced.
Well, for me, it's not necessarily like small times like that. That doesn't really trigger it for me. I'll still be just like, you know, just regular dreaming. But it's usually it's like a book. Mm-hmm. And for some reason in the dream, I just start reading the book. And then, you know, how sometimes you're reading, you're like, oh, wait, I want to reread that. And it'll just be like that, like, wait, I want to reread that. And then I'll reread it, but it'll be something totally different. And then I'm confused. Like, wait a second now. And that confusion is what triggers the lucidity. Just like sometimes people can be triggered with lucidity, but like they're underwater and they're breathing. And then they're like, they start to question it. Wait, how am I breathing underwater? And that triggers the lucidity, questioning the dream. Once you start questioning the dream. And as you go deeper with the awareness of the dream, you know, because what you put your attention on grows, you'll continue to become more and more aware. And that's the key to the lucidity. It's just how aware are you in the dream? That's the only difference between a regular dream, a lucid dream. You're far more aware in a lucid dream. So I'm sure if you keep working at it, you'll definitely get there, especially if you start writing them down.
I write soon as I wake up. Now, leading to the writing while dreaming, when I first read your book, I hadn't done very much spirit side work at all. So I wasn't tapped into that. I wasn't tapped into, God. I wasn't tapped into the spirit. I wasn't tapped into soul. I wasn't tapped into, I understood the law of attraction or universe. I understood of, but I wasn't connected to. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've done deep work in those areas because I knew I found the area and started doing the work. And once I opened up those sides, I had found that most of the most profound and deep workings and the trainings I've done, even this map right here, the map came at like 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning when the veil between like spirit, like the sleep and awake, the consciousness was the thinnest point. Mm-hmm. And some of the best trainings and best writings that I've created would come from this point where the thoughts that were coming in were not thoughts I had before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm like, this is new information. And so I would write them down immediately. I'm immediately writing. Middle of the night writing. I get up and I'm filling out pages or drawing circles. Something is coming that is new information. Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to hear your point of view of like this astral projection or spirit world or God or whatever it is out there. What are the things you're connecting to as this is your realm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're connecting to your deeper intuitive subconscious mind, you know, and so, and that's the mind that your soul uses. So we're all really locked into this physical reality and this conscious mind because this is mostly what we know. But our soul has lived lifetimes. And so we have the understandings that we've built through all of those lifetimes stored within us. So we have access to that through our intuition. We have access to information and knowledge that we haven't built, but is out in the universe through like the Akashic records of things that we can tap into as well. And that's the source of our intuitive sense. However, the conscious mind is very aggressive. So, you know, the thoughts of your conscious mind, they're coming in whether you want them to or not. And so that's where like the power of like a still mind meditation comes in, because you can on command learn to build the skill to on command create space within the conscious mind so that you can receive the deeper thoughts. Now, one thing that I often suggest to people is like stream of consciousness writing, where they just write and write and write and write and write until about whatever problem or issue they're going on, have going on in their life, until they like literally can't move their pen anymore, and do it right before you go to sleep. And what that's going to do is empty out the conscious mind to create space so that you can receive even more from your dreams and more direction. Like Mendeleev, the guy who created the elemental chart, he got all of that from a dream. But the reason is because he had been working on these things. It's not like he was, you know, a potter and just one day woke up and this came into his mind. No, he was working on how to organize all of the elements. There has to be some way to organize them. He had been expanding every thought he could possibly think to create the solution. Once he exhausted all of these conscious thoughts, it came to him in a dream. And he woke up and wrote down the entire periodic chart, and he only needed to make one change out of all of it. Now, it's not quite the elements that we have today, but it was the base of the very origin. The guy who created the lock stitch needle, same exact thing. He invented that. He went to sleep one night and had a dream where he was in this tribe and they caught him and put him in this pot of boiling water over top of this fire. And they're all, you know, walking or dancing around him with these spears. And then he woke up and the spears was the needle that he used for the lock stitch needle. I mean, there's lots of other stories that you can find about like people who invented different things or had these different creations that came from their dream. But it's essentially, that's the metaphysical mechanics of it, is that you've created space within your mind to receive from this deeper intuitive sense that has so much more knowledge and information available to you than you do just from what your own conscious mind has formulated within this lifetime.
I'm loving it. I found the same thing. I really have. I would have probably, when I first met you, mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck is this nonsense? I'm like, it didn't make any sense. And so anybody who hasn't really gone into the surrender element of the spirit side or soul side of mm-hmm. things, you know, I'm not religious. I mean, spirit, like your soul. Yeah. You have mm-hmm. a soul. Until you've gone into the surrender of, you have a soul, you do have a purpose, there's a reason you exist, and we're all connected in some way. I couldn't connect to any of the shit you wrote. I was like, this doesn't make no sense. So now that I've actually tapped in, I really am starting to see, like, you're right, in the middle of the night, the veil is thinnest, and I will have thoughts that come in from mm-hmm. a different source. They will come in from a source that is not my own. It's not something I've read. It's not something I researched in. Something else is coming in to add in information that I'm like, hey, you know, no different than somebody listening to this show right now. New information comes in that you and I have experienced and you have researched, or I have researched, that has come in that they haven't researched yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, new mm-hmm. information has come in. Well, that happens in the middle of the night. I would not have believed you before, but now it's happened too many times to deny.
Exactly.
You.
Yeah. You've experienced it. You've created experience for yourself. So now it's no longer a belief for you. You know it to be true.
Well, that, and people like you, and I've had spirit side warriors on the show, and mm-hmm. truthfully, the most impactful people for me have been the spirit side warriors, because mm-hmm. I'm mind and body side. That's my strong side.
Yeah.
And so tapping into spirit and heart side, those are more complicated for me. It's the harder language to grab onto for me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so when I meet spirit side warriors like you, who are like, yeah, you can astral project and you can make it lucid. Yeah. And there's a translation here. When I've talked to the Kai Jordans and the Maria Kellis and the Daniel Jacksons and the people who are like, we play in this realm. I'm like, what is going on? You know, it's crazy to me. But you all say the same things. One thing that people who have really experienced spirit side, and they're not anti-God, mm-hmm. say that mm-hmm. multiple lives is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Please share your experience on that, because I keep seeing too much congruency in this area mm-hmm. for it to be totally dismissed as nonsense.
Yeah.
What's your experience?
Well, my main experience is that, as far as what you're talking about, is so many people spend so much time thinking on what is going to happen to them after they die. And hardly anyone ever even begins to question, well, what was going on before I was born? You know, I mean, if you think about what is going to happen through the eternity after you die, well, I mean, there's still recorded history of thousands of years. Where were you during that time? You know, and as you do go into more, because like I said, in the fourth dimension, you're not limited by time anymore. So you can have precognitive dreams and perceive different lines of probability within the future. But you can also recreate and re-experience the past life experiences that you've had, the past life experiences of the history of the world, so that you can discover what actually did happen in history, what actually did happen in my history. And then you can, and with enough experiences, and then you can know what's true and what's maybe just a dream. But there's like a different quality, a different feel, just like lucid dreams have a different feel to it. Visitation dreams, when a past loved one who's passed away comes and visits you. You know, most people who don't even know anything about any type of spiritual stuff will start to question things because they'll wake up from a dream like that and just feel that dream felt different. You know, my grandfather came and saw me, you know, 2 weeks after passing, and it felt different than a regular dream. There has to be something there. And it is, because these type of dreams have a different quality to it. So you can re-experience a past life and be like, this was different. This was not a regular dream. You know, and you can actively do this. A lot of people just kind of have it happen naturally. I had one friend when I first moved here to Kentucky. He starts off every single night re-experiencing the exact same experience within a lifetime every single night. This like Roman battle that he went through. And I've talked to him a lot, worked with him through a lot of that. But you can go through it and have it naturally happen like that, or you can go into the Akashic Records, which is within the center of the subconscious mind, in between the upper and lower astrals, and you can actively search and research throughout all of your past lives. And so the main thing that I would want to convey to people with that, because what purpose does it have? You know, it doesn't really have much more purpose than your own past in this lifetime. You know, it's like if you dwell on the past of this lifetime, that's not really going to do much for you. So if you dwell on your past lives and what you were doing there, and oh my God, I'm so fascinated with what I was doing in a past life, you're going to miss out on this present moment and what you're doing in this life. But our past in this life is very vital for us to learn from, to see what we built and what we can continue to learn. And so that's how I use my past life experiences and understandings to identify what did I learn within that lifetime? What understandings did I build in that lifetime that I can pull forth within my storehouse of wisdom deep within me to utilize today? You know, like
That's fascinating. I had a guy, Daniel Jackson, gave me a purpose for it. Mm-hmm. He said there was a purpose for past lives. Now he says there is a God. He's like, there are angels. They don't look like what you think. They're not these beautiful dudes with big wings. They look very different. He's like, I've talked to them. I know what they're like. And at first I thought the guy was fucking bananas. But then as he started revealing shit, I'm like, plausible. Hold on. Like, he started doing stuff. He started naming things he could never have known about me. You can't look it up. You can't Google that shit. Yeah. You can't find it. Stuff before social media. He's like, well, who's that? And what's this thing? And I'm like, what the fuck are you tapped into, dude? Like, he got me. Yeah. I was crying on that show. He got me.
Yeah.
You know, so this wasn't mentalist shit. Cause I know that shit. I'm like, you're going to do those things. Go ahead. This wasn't mentalist. This was something else. And he explained there is God. And the reason why what Jesus says and the forgiveness and how God can be that way and how there's systems in place for what it is. He's like, because the purpose of your past lives is that your soul has to learn a thing and you'll get as many tries as you need to until your soul. I took it as like the Christmas story thing where it's like the you get your wings, you know, the angel gets his wings things. There's a thing your soul is supposed to figure out. And he said to me, he said, Rick, I can feel you from here. And your soul has had 28 tries. You have 28 past lives that you've come back multiple times. And those do have some form of influence. I do feel a high kinship to warrior culture.
Yeah.
There's something in there.
That's no surprise.
I've got samurai stuff in there. There's Viking stuff in there. There's some sort of like the role or the lives that I've had in my past were in some way in heavy conflict and thrived in heavy conflict. And so when your buddy's having his Roman warrior battle, I'm like, yes, you know, like I feel you. I've locked shields in your phalanx, you know, like I can relate. But he said that's the purpose, is your past lives and why God can forgive you for all of your shit is because you get another try if you didn't get it, if you didn't figure it out.
Exactly. And
he told me, he's like, you did your soul's purpose already. He's like, you could just easy street the rest of your life because you already fulfilled the soul's need that it had to figure out. You figured it out. You cracked it. You broke the curses. You got it. You figured it out. He's like, you could easy street it. He's like, I'm also reading that you won't do that. You're going to keep going. Yeah, I know this.
Exactly. Accelerate through the next lifetime.
And that's what it is. He's like, but there is going to be, there is a heaven. He's like, there's not a hell. It doesn't work like that. He's like, we just go and reset the soul. We're all connected to God and we're all of our souls are a piece of God. We're all doing our purpose to fulfill that element of completion. You know, there's a thing you're supposed to go, and each of us has a different purpose or meaning, which means every person who has a soul is not a fucking accident. And that was pretty cool. You're made in an image of God that is meant to figure out something, and you're going to get a few tries. So if you end up Hitler this round, yeah, you fucked that round up. So you're going to go back again. You're going to figure out the thing you're supposed to learn, because wiping out people is a fucking poor choice. Not the way to go. Let's go the other way. And then maybe next round, you're the Dalai Lama. You're like, there we go. You're figuring it out. Got it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And so there's a degree of how can God forgive these ridiculous things that have happened in history? You know, how can God forgive? It's like, well, because that soul was supposed to learn something. And sometimes people fuck that shit up. This is also, if I just have to be like my like monkey brain on this one, it would also make sense why the devil would be trying to gather souls, because it's like getting parts of God. Maybe. Listen, that's just me making shit up. This is just make, well, I mean, it makes sense if the currency is we're trying to unlock an element of, you know, purpose within our soul. That like, maybe that's why he's trying to get them. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the difference between the two is more of are you progressing or are you regressing? You know, like the mark of the beast is 666, right? Mark of the devil. So draw 6666. It's just a downward spiral. You know, so are you on a downward spiral, or are you actually elevating and ascending and growing higher? And like a lot of what you're talking about with the past lives, that's a very macrocosmic look at things. But you can see the same interplay play out within a very micro of just your life. You know, you have a destiny, a purpose for your life, and you can continue to either, you know, avoid these lessons in life. You're like, you know, I have a boss that I don't like. I don't get along with him. I'm not, you know, there's some sort of lesson here as far as like authority and humbling myself before authority, because I've placed myself in that position, but I don't want to learn that. I'm just going to leave and go get this job over here. And then this job has a great boss, but then that boss is so great, he gets a promotion 4 months later, and now you get a new boss that's the exact same as the other. So then I'm going to quit that job and I'm going to go, you know, become my own employee over, create my own business. Well, one person who I have to do business with is kind of treating me the same way. No matter how much I avoid this lesson, I'm going to continue to create a new opportunity to get a chance to learn it again. You know, I'm in a relationship with someone that's very toxic. So I'm leaving this relationship. You know, I'm not going to learn the lesson of self-love. I'm just going to avoid it and leave it. I'm talking to my friends about this new relationship 3 months later, and oh, everything's wonderful. This person is great. Oh, it's totally different from before. Well, 2 months after that, it's the exact same scenario. Totally different person, but the exact same scenario. So it's like, are you moving in circles, just running around in circles, representing yourself with the same opportunity to learn a lesson and actually learning it? Or, you know, we all have free will as well. So I can use my free will to not learn it. And that just means that later on, it's going to come back around again until I finally do learn it. And then I'm elevating. So if I leave that toxic relationship because instead of avoiding it, because I understand more about self-love and needing to take care of myself and put myself first, then I've elevated to where when I come back around that lesson of self-love in the next relationship, it's not the relationship forcing me to face a lesson on self-love because they're berating me, pushing me down. It's because this new person is so much better that they're elevating and lifting me up. They're an example of self-love and pulling me to become greater and love myself more. So I'm coming around to the same lesson, but it's on a whole different level. So you can see this macro that you were describing as far as a soul and the lifetimes within an individual lifetime, you can see it still interplaying as well, because that is what the soul's here to learn is these understandings that we have the opportunity to build from the life lessons we have the opportunity to experience, you know, because that's the only thing we can take with us are the experiences and the understandings that we've learned from them.
Yeah, I love it, dude. This is cool. Yeah. What I call that is when people are trying to get away from the purpose that's put in front of you, the opportunities that get laid in front of you, where you're like, I'm supposed to be learning something, but screw that, I'm running away. I'm supposed to be learning, but screw that, I run away. I do a lesson about avoidance, and I call it a void dance. And I space it out, a void dance. That means there's something in here I don't like. There's some incomplete element of myself. Something is a hole here, and I don't want you near it. I don't want you getting close. So whatever comes up, I'm going to move away. I'm going to obfuscate. I'm going to deflect. I'm changing the subject. We're going to get away from this. I'm not dealing with it. And this level of denial becomes part of the personality traits that you have because you can't deal with what is. And that's what denial is. It's the war with what is. That's warrior talk. It's the war with what is. And so this avoidance is a void dance. You're trying to keep everything away from the hole that you should be trying to fulfill. Figure it out.
Yeah. Don't leave that. Have the courage. Have the courage to face it.
That's right. Fear hates courage. So I like that you say face your lesson. Now, being able to have those things, odds are, and this goes into where your field would be, odds are if you have this level of stress or anxiety or fear, it's going to manifest when you're going through your dreams. Fair or not fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
So how do you help people with that one? Because it seems like it's almost like they need you to help interpret. Like, don't you see the lesson? Because I do this on the psychology side, but I do understand the spirit side. It's like, no, a translator makes this possible.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of like, pay attention so you know whether you need this interpreter here or that one there. Please give an example of your side of interpretation where someone goes, that's the guy I need. I need that.
Well, so for one, like the anxiety that you mentioned, that brings me back to one dream that you mentioned earlier when you were talking about the atomic bomb that we didn't get to touch on, but tornado dreams. I used to have tornado dreams all the time. I used to also have extreme anxiety, bad. And I haven't experienced any anxiety for over a decade now. And so in the universal language of the mind, it's a language of form and function. What is the form and what is its function? A tornado is just wind circling around and around. Well, what does wind represent? Wind represents your thoughts. It's easy to perceive, but it's hard to really see them. You can feel them and perceive them like the wind. They're blowing. Your thoughts are blowing through like the wind. Well, a tornado is the wind just circling around and around and creating more turmoil in the environment. So it's like the same thoughts in your mind just circling, swirling around and around, creating this inner turmoil. And that happens. That's a big dream with a lot of people who do have anxiety. And so what I always suggest, because then once you realize, oh, I have this tornado dream, and you then can decode it and understand what that's really meaning. Like, this means that this is representing that this is going on within your mind. So then that gives you a greater insight into what to do about it. So it's like, I experience anxiety, but I don't know what to do about it. You know, but oh, okay, it's like a tornado in my mind. I need to calm that wind down. So how do I do that? Well, anxiety, the thought cause of anxiety is scattered attention. My attention is here to here to here. Essentially, you're playing like the what if game in the future the wrong way. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if it goes like this? You know, and so the key to that is bringing yourself back to the present moment. And how we experience the present moment is through our physical senses. So really give more and more attention to what you're seeing right now. You know, keep your eyes fixed where they're at, but use your peripheral to see the rest of the room, the rest of the space. You know, what are you really hearing right now? Other than the words that you're hearing over this podcast, what are you really hearing out greater? The birds in the air, the wind, the dryer in the other room. You know, what are you smelling right now? Some people are like, well, I don't smell anything. Yeah, that's because you have a regular practice of not giving attention to the sense. So start to practice it. What are you smelling? What are you tasting? What are you feeling right now? Feel the temperature on your skin. Feel the clothes on your skin. What do you feel inside? Feel your muscles. Feel your bones. Feel your brain. Feel your heart. See if you can feel your heart beating in your chest. Just give your attention to it. You know, where do you feel the energy in your body? Where is it swirling at? Where is it concentrated? Where is it flowing to? Where is it flowing from? And now you've given more and more attention to all of the senses, so you've become more present. So automatically, your attention is no longer on, well, what if this happens? What if I get fired? What if my car breaks down? What if, you know, this goes on? What if I get this phone call? It's no longer in this thing, these things that are driving your anxiety. You become more present. So then after you do it once, then try to do all senses together at the same time. And for a lot of people, it's going to be very difficult, you know, but with regular practice, it'll be easier and easier to do. And so that's one thing that you can do to uproot the weed of anxiety out of the plant of the garden of your mind. But one thing that you can do to kind of just eliminate the energy of it, it won't necessarily uproot it and remove it permanently from your experience. But like if you go out and pull a weed and you just take the weed away, you don't see it anymore. You don't experience it for a few weeks or so until it grows back. So here's a little trick that you can do, a little thing that you can do to at least eliminate the charge in the present moment. It's called the long breath. And so it's essentially you're taking longer and longer, slower and slower, and deeper breaths. Scientifically, no negative emotion can remain as long as you're doing the long breath. So as depending on how intense the emotion is, how intense the anxiety is, you might have to do the long breath for 5, 6, maybe 10 minutes. But you can do this exercise and it will dissipate and go away. And that's all you do is just sit there and take longer and longer, slower and slower, and deeper breaths. So it'll eliminate the present moment experience, but you know, you may continue to experience anxiety without going deeper into uprooting the habit of your mind of like the same kind of thoughts swirling around and around.
So what I like about this, I've been doing this for years now, and whenever I build out a part of a program, especially when we built out the cure for anxiety, What I enjoy is when I see other warrior types come from a different direction and we meet at the same city.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so I did this with Danny Morrell, who's heart side, you know, and I've done this, like, what you just described is very similar, but I come from mind side, you come from spirit side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see that there are no, like, this side is better than others. Yeah, they all end up, if you do the deep work, end up in the same city. And They all end up finding the similar results. And the same thing with mind side was presence in the present. Slow down, look around, and be present in the present. All of the what ifs and all of the future travels, so people are traveling into the future.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing their feelings with them. And they're having emotions around things that aren't happening.
Yeah. You know?
And so they do this with depression also. It's the same thing where they're just going into the past.
Exactly.
And I wrote a thing recently that I've had a few like people. I have some pretty smart people in my world.
Beautiful.
Let's see if I can't pull it up. So one of the guys is a doctorate in theology I was talking with this weekend. I hung out with him this weekend, which was lovely. And he showed, like, I wrote down that thing you wrote where I said, we spend our present minutes wasting them in pasts that are no longer happening and futures that will never happen. And our lives are a documentary of us watching time disappear. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're wasting our minutes right now in the past that's done and futures that won't happen. And we're panicking about it. We're freaking out about it. But if you take a minute with your presence in the present and go, well, you're in the blip of time right now, that if you're present now, you'll realize you're surrounded with blessings.
Yeah.
You realize that you're in good times. You'll realize things are okay. You have opportunity and hope. It's all around you. You have love. And we miss the things. And so I love when you say, look, I found it through the spirit side, that you can find the answer through follow your spirit. Listen to your dream. Have presence in that present. One of the answers, the definition I have for anxiety, especially people, a majority do not have chemical anxiety. Like they weren't born with it. Like it's not a chemical imbalance. They're told it is, but it's not, because I can test people out by saying, think of a memory that gave you anxiety before it happened. I have to give a big speech in front of everybody, or I'm going to ask that girl out, or I'm going to ask for a raise and I'm freaking out and my boss is going to say no, or I know it's going to be a conflict. I'm going to confront a bully, whatever it is. Well, think about that. Do you still have anxiety when you think about that moment? And most people are like, well, no. I mean, well, what's different? The only difference is you didn't know what was going to happen then. But now you know, like, you get the raise, or she says yes, or I nail that speech, or my bully and I are now best friends.
Yeah. Or the, like, worst thing did happen, but you're okay now.
It was fine. Yeah. It was like, I bombed that speech and it was funny. I still joke about it. Or that girl, she's crazy. I see her Facebook. She's fucking crazy. Thank you, God, for unanswered prayers. You know, like, stuff like that where I know what happens. And so I don't have anxiety. So I said the definition for anxiety seems to be, I don't know the answer yet.
Yeah.
It just, I take stacks of books and break it down to one sentence. All of it just seems like, I don't know yet. But then once you know, how come you don't have anxiety once you know? Well, now I know. Yeah. Well, it just seems like the difference is you didn't know yet or you did know yet. Mm-hmm. Now incorporate presence in the present. And I'm going to give you some mind tools to supplement with your spirit side. This, I have a list of tools. This is the like, okay, give me the step by step to make sure that once I know what is, how do I apply the spirit element of what you just presented to the logical element of my conscious mind to practice it every single day. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I want to test your tools. I want to see how many of my tools you've got. Okay. All right. First off, what I'm going to do is just go through the list. And then at the end, I have a very difficult math equation for you. So have your brain ready. Okay.
All right.
All right. First off, when we know what's happening, like it's not about the what ifs. It's now the thing has presented itself. Mm-hmm. The thing I was anxious about is in front of me. That I didn't get the job or, you know, the person rejected me or I lost money in a deal that went south or whatever, something you now know what it is. Let's look and see how prepared you are. Number one, do you have problem solving skills? Have you ever have you ever solved a problem before? Do you have problem solving
skills? Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. You can solve problems. Gotcha. I'm pretty good at it actually, right? I'll solve problems all day. All right. You got the first one. Do you have creativity?
Mm-hmm, yes.
You ever think outside the box and figure out a way that's maybe not conventional, but I figured out a cool way to do it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. We got two for two. How about this? Resourcefulness. I don't have it, but I'll figure out a way to get it. I'll Google. Yeah. I'll do something. I'll find a way. I'll order it on Amazon. I'll find a way. Right?
Absolutely.
What about a support system? People that you can just call to be like, can I get some advice? Or, hey, can you have some backup? You have any people who are in your corner?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Healthy outlets, mind, heart, body, soul. I have outlets. I either do workouts or meditation or I write or I cry it out or something. I've got some outlets that I can let the steam off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Are you the center of all things or is there a higher power of some source that you believe in?
Probably a combination of both.
Okay. But you're connected to a greater existence. So the things that you would be afraid of, it's not just you as the center of the universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then do you have more experience now to be able to handle difficult situations than when you were much younger and went through some of the hardest times?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's do it. Let's do a little inventory check and see how good you've been so far at this. The math question is, out of everything that you've ever gone through, every heartbreak, every rejection, every abuse, every abandonment, everything that was ever shitty that ever happened in your life, what is the percentage of your survival rate so far?
100%.
You have a 100%. Dude, you ain't never died. You are here still. Yeah. You are still. Yeah. Nothing has taken you out of the game yet. You are fucking hard to kill. You're tough. In which case, when people are going through anxiety with the spirit side, I want them to follow your path and go, hey, this will still get to the same location of be present in the present. Check your peripherals, let the noise, like catch the noise and open your spirit to surrender to the presence. But then if you're a mind side, you're the engineer type. I have to make sure the list is there. Well, now you know the problem. We got problem solving skills, creativity, resourcefulness, support system, outlets, faith in a higher power, more experience than before, and you're fucking tough to kill because you've overcome everything so far.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we, instead of being worried about all the what ifs, be a little bit more curious about the what is? Because I've got all these tools to use for when it shows up. I'm probably going to fucking figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So it's a beautiful exercise for like the universal law of perspective, you know, helping someone shift their perspective to see things differently and then experience something different because of it.
Yeah. Here's something where I think I can meet you in the middle. Whenever I work with anybody, and I've had a lot of people who are no longer on anxiety medication. I take a lot of people off of depression, PTSD, anxiety. They're not on medication. Not that I take them off, but
no, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Same experience. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we do this, whenever I do the practice, I remind people that if you're able to look into multiple futures and bring your heart with you, you're not broken. You're not fucked up. You have a superpower you haven't mm-hmm. trained.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're not broken. You're brilliant. You're going into the futures. Mm-hmm. You have a very yeah. high creativity and imagination system to go and visit possible futures and have experiences that impact you in a future mm-hmm. that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking a superpower, dude.
yeah. Yeah. That's and why I said, you know, you're playing the what if game the wrong way. You know, you're now because
when you train, yeah, have you ever trained people to be able to go into the futures on purpose until you get to point where it's the future, which means there's obviously unknown variables. I don't know if a new person will be introduced. I don't know what true conversations will be had. At some point, you know, there's information I don't know yet, and I can't continue. And at that point, close down the tab because people leave all the tabs open. And then they go, I haven't solved any of these. I must be a piece of shit who sucks at solving things. And you're like, no, it's the future. There's variables you just haven't gotten the information for yet. But if you do, you got your whole list of shit. You know you can handle it. So calm down and shut that tab down. You went as far as you can go.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going into possible futures and you're learning life lessons and then shutting it down. So now you've lived through 50 different possibilities, learned a bunch of life lessons, and now you're prepared for whatever could go on. I argue that this isn't a disability. It's a possibility for clairvoyance. You are now traveling into the future, living lives that you don't have to really live in just a few minutes. And now you have more wisdom by just practicing the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, within every holy scripture, there's a truth. Your thoughts create your reality. And so when you really examine your thoughts and what your thoughts are, you know, you can see that your thoughts are images. You know, so like I said, the universal language of the mind, the subconscious mind is communicating images. Like right now, if I ask you to think of a balloon, you know, you can tell me what color the balloon was because you saw an image in your mind. So sometimes people are like, well, I just saw the word balloon. Okay, you saw an image of the word balloon. What color were the letters? So you still see in images. So we create in images. So when we're playing the what if game the wrong way, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if I get this call? You're feeding energy into a thought form of what you know, maybe consciously or unconsciously are wanting to manifest. So you're bringing that closer to you. You're making it more real, the more energy you feed into it. And so as you get better at, you know, identifying, well, what is, well, wait a second, that's not actually existing right now. Let me get better and control my mind. And instead of just allowing my imagination to run wild in what images are created, let me harness this and become a master of my imagination through my visualization, my ability to control what I see. And there's plenty of science around visualization. You know, ask Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan what they do for visualization and see what the results have been of it. You know, I saw a video actually the other day that was funny. Michael Jordan talked about how he's made more three-pointers in his mind than he ever did in real life, you know, and even more than just sports. Tons of people practice visualization all the time, but that's your ability to control and tell your mind, these are the images I want you to create, essentially. And so if a thought is an image, these are the thoughts that I want you to entertain, that I want to position and move my life towards. So that's, you know, you're playing the what if game the wrong way if you're completely tied into this, you know, energy of, you know, well, what if this happens? What if this goes wrong? And you're looking into the future at what you don't want versus looking into the future at what you do want.
I think it's such a good point. I love the way you speak in images. Like, it's a very clever thing. The balloon thing, very clever. And I love the approach that you're doing here because it does come from the other side. And I love, this is one thing I think, you mentioned earlier, challenge your gurus is the way that I heard it.
Where yeah.
I'm going to say things, but don't just take what I say. Don't take what I say for like, that's just the end. Yeah. Challenge it to see if what I say matches up for you. And I enjoy when I've noticed people who have done the deep work seem aligned in the concept that I even have in my creed of challenge everything. That like, you should challenge you. You're like, you can't do that. You're like, you know what? I'll show you how. You do it yourself and then see if I'm wrong. Go ahead. You know, and then I'm like, then show me a better way. I'm open to hear. I want to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't worry. Who gives a fuck about what? I got a whole case of credentials. I have them in storage still. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Challenge competency, not credentials. I want to see, can you really do it or did you just read about it?
Yeah. What do my credentials do for you? You know,
yeah, they don't know
what is what does information do for you? You could have all the information in the world and not apply a single bit of it.
Yeah,
and someone who has only a little information and applies it deeply and immensely in their life, they will ascend so much further than the other.
That's the game today. And this is why I think people like what you're saying. And this is why I would like to lean people towards finding you more is I challenge people to say, are you information or are you transformation?
That's deep.
That's good. A lot of people are just watch my videos and not let's go into hell and work.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and you'll go into the dreams. Mm-hmm. You'll go into the nightmares. You'll go in and you'll go here. Let's check out what kind of dragon it is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going like, oh, it well, it says here if it is a green dragon,
that means yeah, exactly.
Red dragon, be careful. Those are nasty. You know, it's
like, yeah. What does that do for you?
And I'm like, which kind of dragon? Because I've killed a lot of dragons.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like, it's a brown dragon. I'm like, those aren't real. Just touch it. You'll go, your hand will go right through it.
Like it doesn't matter what kind of dragon it is. It can be any color, any amount of heads. It can fly, not fly. I'm jumping on its back and I'm taming it and making sure it does what I tell it to do.
I'll show you how the dragon works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's cool to hear the way you speak. And speaking in terms of images as a language, I think it's a very clever thing too. I really enjoy hearing how that works. So like, and even still, you could probably play a lot because it's interpreting almost as a Rosetta Stone of like, hey, this is what that means. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like, think of a balloon, I'm like, I did. And you're like, you had a color on a balloon. I was like, I did. It wasn't a blank. It wasn't a blank balloon. It was a color of a balloon.
Yeah.
You know, and which color may also be a psychology thing where this is where I come mind side to you coming in spirit side to where like that color means something.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a stage in your life. It could be a significant of, you know, the weak side of what you're working on. It could be finances. It could be love. You know, it could be acceptance. It could be grief. Mm-hmm. And you're like, there's a piece there right there. It's right there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought it was a balloon. You know, it's pretty cool, man. I think this is at least that's what I'm picking up if that's what you're putting down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it truly is like a Rosetta Stone because it's more than just dreams. You know, it's more than just, you know, because also visions or any kind of, you know, messages from within that you're receiving, you know, visual word images, but it's way more than just that. It's also every holy scripture. You can decode every holy, like the structure of the mind here. You know, on the back I have a whole entire diagram to help people to understand a two-dimensional diagram to help them understand a multi-dimensional function of their mind. But this isn't like, this isn't anything that I came up with. This is all ancient knowledge. Like if you take the universal language of the mind and you apply it to the first 10 verses of the Bible, what you will get is this exact same diagram, the creation of the mind and the self beyond just this physical body. And so you can apply it through to the book of Revelations. Then you see it's not about any type of end times, but about spiritual evolution. And it lays it out piece by piece. You can see that the seven churches are these seven levels of mind. The seven candlesticks are the seven chakras that correlate with those seven levels. And the seven seals are the doorways into those levels. You know, the horn blasts. Anyone who's ever actually astral projected, they know what I'm talking about as far as this sound that you hear, you cannot describe in any kind of way. Some people describe it as a bell. For me, it's kind of like a the best way I can describe it is like in Transformers when they're transforming, that kind of mechanical but computerized kind of sound. What it kind of sounds like in the Bible, they call them horns, the horn blast. That happens when the seal is broken and you've moved into that other dimension. But what it is your frequency is shifting so fast into a higher level of frequency. But I mean, you can do it with all those holy scriptures. You can do it with movies. In my Dream Interpretation Masterclass, we then you know, I talk about dreams and what that means, the structure of the mind, what that means, interpret the first 10 verses so that they can see this is in Holy Scriptures. But then the next week, we break down the entire movie Ad Astra by Brad Pitt. And then you can very plainly and easily see, and that lesson I have for free on YouTube if anybody wants to check it out, Ad Astra Decoded. And it's the video is longer than the movie itself. But you can see that Brad Pitt is going through, he'll talk to you about the mind state of an initiate of someone who's wanting to go deeper into themselves. And, you know, like I said at the very beginning, the outer space in a dream is representing your inner space. And so the whole entire journey he's going to through to, like, I think Pluto or something, to reach his father, which represents your superconscious mind, which is the deepest part of, anyways, I'm not going to get too far into it, but essentially the whole entire movie, it breaks down how to go deeper, how to astral project, how to go deeper within yourself, the different levels, the seven levels that you will come across, the elemental qualities of those levels. I mean, it goes deep into really breaking it down. Now, I think it got like a two thumbs down or 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, but those are the type of movies that get that, because it's like the way you tell the story doesn't make sense to a regular person because it's told in the universal language of the mind. You know, like there's a character that represents his ego, and like people criticize the movie, like, what, this character just came in and left out of the in and out of the story for no reason. It didn't benefit the story or anything. It just kind of distracted. But there was a very purpose for that character entering in that portion of the story because it represented transcending the ego, you know? And so that, I mean, you can use this. It literally is a Rosetta Stone to so many things. And it's clearly not just something I know of or teach about, because, you know, people aren't just like, a movie like that clearly was not like just randomly happened to be so encoded. Like, these other people definitely know this language as well. It's ancient knowledge. You know, it's out there for anyone to see who have eyes to see and ears to hear.
It's pretty awesome. I definitely want to watch that, because I haven't seen Ad Astra or Ad Astra. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But it's on my list. I'm putting it on because I'm like, okay, I got to see where you go.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
I'm plugging in. I got to check. I'll have to watch your breakdown. I'm going to watch it first and see what I can see. And then I'll watch your YouTube breakdown on it.
Beautiful.
Like, I'm like, okay, now that I gave it a shot, let me see what I missed. You know, so I want to give it a shot first.
Awesome.
That's cool,
awesome.
Man. I'm definitely putting that on my list.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not wrong when I say, like, you see, like, it's a universal, collective of information. Like, I remember I talked to Maria Callas, who also is able to astral project. Again, I can't astral project. I haven't done this yet.
Like, have you ever dreamed?
Yes.
You've astral projected. It's okay, just your level of awareness.
I didn't have a high level of awareness.
Yeah.
I can, like, go like, oh, I'm in my dream. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. Out. I know what you're meaning.
So I've never gone into the further. So I don't know what we're talking about as far as some of those things. So I've never been in, like, Insidious. I've never done it. And so, when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's not my strong side. And I definitely find myself in my strongest element at the very veil between spirit and consciousness. And that's where I've done some of my best work. And so that's as far as I go. And if you're looking at that, I don't know how deep that level is, because this is not my strength, but I know that there's a thing there. So I can't go like, Tarak, you're fucking crazy, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, no, I've now, within the last, like, it's been coming up on 4 years, I've tapped into this where I'm like, there's a thing.
Yeah.
I can't be as articulate as you just were, because I don't interpret the images the same way. I don't know the language, but there's a thing. And when I talked to Maria Callas, she explained she astral projected with an angel that took her to the, like, ocean of information. And she's like, it's so much, it can only be experienced, but it can never be written. You can't share it. It can only be experienced.
Exactly.
Like, how much water is there in the ocean? Like, we can try, but, like, to say, like, if I gave you, like, it's 25 piscillion gallons, you're like, okay, that's a number. I'm like, but to experience it is like, how do you describe it? You can't even see it all.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So it's like that. And so she even tried to write when she came back. And she described, she couldn't do it. She's like, I started writing and started just getting jumbled. It couldn't do it. You can't, it's all goofed up. But she explained our purpose for our souls. And I'm with you where our bodies don't give us credit for how big we really are inside. You know, like you said, the space that I take up and how much I can experience is all subjective based on the location of this vessel. I'm tracking you, man. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But she said, think of the vessel or the purpose that we have for the size of our, like, our soul or what our purpose is. Like, our purpose would be, like, we each have a bucket. And our bucket is just how big our bucket is. And some could be big buckets or small buckets, but it can only handle so much. Mm-hmm. And we each get our scoop of that water from the ocean of information. And that's your information. That's what you got. And that's your thing to share with the world. That's your piece where you have a skill and an ability that's different from mine because you have different mm-hmm. information in your bucket than I do. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean better or worse. It's just you got a different piece of the ocean that you share. And I got a piece that I share. Which mm-hmm. means
exactly.
we're all valuable again.
Exactly.
As long as you're not dumping your bucket out and just going, whatever, I don't care. And you're going to go watch, you know, stupid stuff on you know, TikTok or whatever, going, hey, I actually am going to gather and fill my bucket. And I mm-hmm. can't wait to work through my own bucket and share what I have as my piece to contribute.
Exactly.
Yep. And I think that that was a really neat way she explained that, to go like the stuff like I have for my map or the stuff that you found through like your journeys and the way that you can interpret. I don't have that. I didn't get that. That's not my bucket. That was your bucket. Mm-hmm. And you're like, look at what I've got in my bucket. And I'm like, show me your bucket. That's amazing. I don't yeah. have that in my bucket. I'm looking at my mm-hmm. bucket. I don't have those. That's cool, man. And yeah. so I get excited to go like, it's not that mine is better. I just have a different mm-hmm. part of the ocean than you, but I can yeah. only handle so much. So I can't handle all of yours and mine because we have different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the past lives and all of the different things.
Yeah.
There's another thing Daniel Jackson said to me that fuck with me too. He's like, you think it's your brain that makes all these memories? You think it's your brain? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, maybe. He's like, well, spirits don't have brains because that's an organ. And yet they have mm-hmm. memories and can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that it's your memories are all stored in your brain?
Yeah, said, exactly.
Good point. The memories may be your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing because spirits yeah. don't have brains. It's an organ.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. There's a difference between the brain and the mind. The mind is vast. Now, mm-hmm. the brain is programmed by the conscious mind. And mm-hmm. when the more you can get at separating, understanding the separation of the two, then you can really, it'll be easier for you to move beyond the limitations of the brain and tap into more of the mind. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. I think that's where people would goof up. Cause even when if you said the brain and the mind, I'd be like, you mean like thoughts and organ? And you're like, yeah, well, kind of, but when you said yeah. like your soul is the recorder and it's not your brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like,
yeah. Cause the brain is just the hardware. You know,
right.
like a computer is absolutely useless without any type of programs. But what is programming the brain?
Well, you know, it's also like the concept. And this is, I understand if you really get into tech guys are going to be like, motherfucker, server.
Yeah.
You go like, if you know,
just what's a simple on my analogy drive
mm-hmm. versus what's in the cloud, you know, example, mm-hmm. even though the cloud is technically another server, it's like, well, the information you have is not just limited to this one space. It can transcend that space.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but like a phone, an iPhone without the iOS, the initial system that it's on, it's just mm-hmm. a blank, you know, it's a blank screen. So it has yeah. to be filled with something and then programmed with something. So the brain operates off of the programs that are given from the mind, but there is a separation of the two and you can't necessarily change the programming of your brain until you change the programming of the mind. And that's what will influence the brain to then remove neurons and pathways, you know, but mm-hmm. it's through the mind first that then programs the brain. And so, yeah, that's
rewiring beliefs.
Exactly. 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 Yeah. And so when you understand a belief is just a thought you continue to think. So what thoughts do you give the most attention and energy to, you know, that will mm-hmm. then transform your beliefs?
You said, yeah, the energy that you give to it, you know, mm-hmm. and this is cool. I like hearing we find the same place. We're at the same location.
Yeah, yeah.
You just came from this way. I came from this way, but I met you at the same spot. It's good to see people doing the work.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go hide and like, what's your like, all right, here's the shit people just don't understand. Here's how far I've gotten. And here's where people's minds get blown. What is your thing where you're like, okay, Rick, I got some shit for you. Here's the thing. What's your thing where you're like, this is where I lose people? I want to see like, how far do you go? I want to see like where are you at?
Where I lose people the most is pretty much with the universal laws and mostly the universal law of infinity. You know, people, I'm sure you've heard people, and maybe you said it. I've said it like three times on this show. Your thoughts create your reality. You know what I mean? You are able to create your reality. Now, when you look into the universal law of infinity, that is where I start to lose people. Anything is possible. The only limitations that you experience are the limitations that you create within your mind. And now when you look at a very microcosmic scale of that, you know, I can see how like I have my own personal limitations that I'm working through. Like maybe I need more money, you know, is a limitation that I place on myself. Even though money is abundant, there's trillions of dollars zipping about past us right now during having this conversation. But for me, there's a limitation on how much it's going to flow into my reality because of the limitation within my mind. But when you go into a larger portion and still go into the universal law of infinity, you know, death is just a habit, a mental habit that people have. You know, no, if you really look at it, the science of it, no part of your body is older than 7 years. And that's the bones. You know, the organs and tissue and everything regenerate much faster than that. It's cellular regeneration. We're all the same as Wolverine, but Wolverine just does it a lot faster. That's the only difference, you know? And so our bodies continue to change. The reason we age is because we continue to go into the mirror and, oh my God, my dad lost his hair. When am I going to lose my hair? Is that a wrinkle? Am I getting older? You know what I mean? When am I going to not be able to continue to play ball like I am? You know, oh, I'm going to move to the older league. How long can I keep this up? You know, so your body, you're telling your cells how you want them to regenerate. All you want us to regenerate, you know, with wrinkles. Okay. I mean, we can do that if that's what you want. And so immortality is already alive and well within all of us. It's very hard to die, but immortality is alive and well with all of us, but it's our belief. We have such a strong belief, not just individually, but collectively, which then influences an individual's belief to move beyond the collective limitation of it. And so things like that, yes, are very real and possible. And there are immortals on this planet. You know, not saying there's like, you know, thousands of them, but it is very real and possible for anyone to do. It's not very easy, even though it may be simple. It's not very easy. But that's like talking about things like that is when I start to lose people. Wait, you mean we can fly? Absolutely, we can fly. But you have such a strong limitation in your mind. You know, like the 4 minute mile. Until the 4 minute mile happened, once the first person ran it, then hundreds of people started accomplishing it. Once you saw it be a real possibility for someone and the collective consciousness broke beyond that limitation, then it became real for tons of people. I mean, yeah, we fly already, you know, but in planes, but not until one person actually, the Wright brothers did it, then lots of people, there's not just the Wright brothers airlines. You know, thousands of people have created machines that can then allow us to elevate into the space of the air. And so, you know, yes, we have very strong beliefs that limit us from being able to do these things. But yes, we are capable of anything is possible. You just have to have a strong enough will and belief in it to make it a reality for yourself.
Yeah, people try to create limiting beliefs around that. I tracked exactly where you're going on that.
Yeah.
Teach the same thing. It's like, how much potential do you have? As mm-hmm. much as you believe you have, and people exactly. want to read the brochure without believing it. Unlimited potential. And I'm like, well, why are you so limited?
Yeah.
It's like you created limits. There's something mm-hmm. that you said, I can't, or I'm not able. But mm-hmm. instead of looking for how do I break through the limits, like saying, well, can people fly? And you're like, well, yeah, we can create an airplane and then we can fly. And they're like, no. I want to fly like Superman. And you're like, well, probably not going to work that way. That breaks laws of physics, but we can also work with laws of physics and then create an airplane or a rocket ship. And we can break through certain limitations that are there in some way. It can be done. But when people create a limiting amount of options, it makes it so that the possible becomes impossible because I made sure it's impossible. And I'll mm-hmm. enforce by sabotaging possibility and potential by creating a limit that makes it impossible. Yeah. This is why I don't enjoy certain diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The PTSD, people will use my trauma is impossible. I have trauma.
Yeah.
And they'll create an identity that is impossible mm-hmm. to be beaten. Well, I work with multiple people in this field where PTSD, they don't even call it PTSD. They just call it PTS. Mm-hmm. It's not a disorder. It's very beatable. And I work with soldiers and veterans and first responders. Like, mm-hmm. it's fucking beatable. I had to beat it. It's beatable. Mm-hmm. It's not a disorder. It's just you have post-traumatic stress, and we can manage stress and work through, whether you go through neurolinguistics or you go through spirit side or you go through a psychology side, you work through my programs of the steps it takes to beat it. There's multiple ways that if you combine all these pieces, it's no longer required. Then you're like, I don't have a trigger for that anymore. It's not connected to something that I need to panic about.
Yeah.
It's beatable. And so if somebody goes, well, no, I have PTSD or bipolar disorder, which we've beaten, extreme anxiety, which is beaten, depression. We just did a lesson last night on depression to help guys make sure that they beat it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. And it keeps, it's beatable.
Absolutely.
So people will use the terminology or they'll take some of your meme therapy, if you will, and they'll go, I saw a post that someone put up that I agreed with.
Yeah,
and they'll use the meme therapy as part of their identity to say, I have an anxious attachment disorder, you know, or some sort of a disorder that they just looked up. And then people start to act according to what they believe their disorder that they even self-diagnosed is.
Yeah. And make it an absolute and then attach their identity to it. I'm someone. Yeah, exactly.
I am abused. I am traumatized. I am anxious attachment disorder. I am. And once you create the identity, you have solidified yourself into a limiting belief. And then from that point on, without willingness is the number one thing I need to be able to work with somebody. I'm like, do you believe it can be done? And are you willing to do what it takes to do it? If they're like, no, it's impossible and I don't want to do the work. Well, then like, I can't work with someone like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is one of the Henry Ford quote, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, either way, you're right. And so there are certain curses, I call them. There are certain curses that if you believe it's impossible to break, you will create a self-fulfilling prophecy to make sure you're right.
Exactly.
And even if you're given the exact cure, you will take it incorrectly to make sure it's sabotaged. Can't be wrong. I can't go against it. So if you
or you could possibly eliminate it from your experience, but you still continue to operate the same way. Thus, like the weed in the garden, you can remove the green parts that you see, but the roots are still under the surface, and it will come back.
Correct, and that's where people treat the symptoms and not the core.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why people are on medication and they're not doing the deep transformation.
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's cool to hear you speak in transformation and decoding people's thoughts to use it. Instead of just going like, that's just a symptom of seeing green.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, it's fun and fascinating to talk about dreams and interpretations and what they may mean. But it's useless if you don't apply it into your life, you know. Like if you're in a building downtown and somebody runs in, the building's on fire. Okay, thank you. And we continue having our interaction and don't do anything about it. We're going to burn up. The message was useless. The guy might as well ran past our door, you know, because we didn't heed the message and apply it, you know? And that's a lot of what you're talking about, like the willingness. You have to have a willingness, you know? That's why one of the first courses that I created was the Keys to Success course, teaching people how to strengthen not only concentration and their ability to control their attention, but willpower, because your willpower is going to determine not only how much you can do, but how quickly you can do it. And not just, you know, with anything spiritual, but just anything in life in general. You know what I mean? Like the Super Bowl just played a few weeks ago. That was a game of willpower. Whose willpower over a course of 60 minutes is going to overcome the other?
I feel like my willpower overcame because I didn't even watch the game. I don't care. I just hung out with my girl, my family. I stayed with the people I love. Neither of those were my team. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, no.
that's a really good point. I got one for you. People who believe that there is no spirit and there's no soul, there is no energy, there is no law of attraction or what you focus on, you will manifest and there's no God. What are some of the thoughts that you have around people who like, I absolutely believe that everything you say is bullshit. What's the retort you have for people who just haven't experienced it?
My usual response is a sure thing, buddy, with a thumbs up, you know, carry on. You know, in a lot of ways I wouldn't want to, you know, I'm not here to prove anything to anyone. I don't want you to change how you're doing things, because who knows what, even your perspective, even though it, I, from what I know through what I've experienced, may be very limiting. That's okay. You can be within this smaller box and still continue to grow and build and do things great for yourself and feed understandings into your soul, whether you know it's happening or not. You know, the truth is not reliant on anyone's belief. So, you know, if someone is actively engaging me on it and like challenging me with it, I'll entertain it for a little while. But if it's obvious that like they're not open to anything new, then it's like, okay, yeah, sure, go on your way. I'm here for other people. That's more purposeful of my time. I'm not here to convince the world of anything. You know, I'm just, for those who are trying to elevate, I'm trying to provide you with ways to accelerate that evolution.
I love it. I agree with you very much. And I've noticed people with very nihilistic points of view seem to be very close-minded. And they have no reservation to say with new or with useful information, I reserve the right to change my mind, which is something I bring up often. It's in more cases a provoke than
your
acceptance. I'm like, well, please change my mind. Like, give me better information. If you speak in terms of blame, shame, and judgment, I most likely will find it dismissing, because I'm like, well, you're trying to manipulate instead of educate. You know, and so I dismiss that information. I'm like, but please come correct with like, I have thought it out and here's why I believe what I believe. Without just saying, if you don't believe what I believe, you're a fucking idiot. I'm like, that's just a judgment. You haven't given me information. You just judge people.
We have nothing to build together. You know,
right. It's discrediting your stance versus solidifying your truth. Yeah. And that's where you said truths are not, they don't really require, to be truth in a belief. People have beliefs that do not have truths. And so once you've experienced something that is true and people go like, well, I don't believe what you believe. That's okay. My beliefs do not require you to believe what I believe. And I think this is where, when people start speaking in judgments, it reveals that they haven't done the work that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, well, there's no purpose here. You know, like, what are we really doing with our time?
We are at a mute point because you aren't interested in learning. You're just trying to be converting without understanding. You have revealed you to yourself, but I doubt
that. Exactly.
Man, it's a pleasure to hang with you, man. Do you have anything that you want to do? If people are like, man, I love this guy. This guy makes a lot of sense to me. I resonate with what he's saying. I like his interpretations. I want my dreams to be worked through, or I'm stuck in my spirit side and I want to be able to plug into an interpreter who knows what they're fucking doing. How can I get people to plug in with you, and how can our people go that direction? Where would you like them to go?
Yeah. I created a metaphysical mastery community. I used to just have like a mentor program, but I've made it a free community. All of the resources that I provide, the Dream Symbol Glossary and everything, tons of things in there, a letter on lucidity and things, are free for people. There's a space within it where you can share your dreams, and then myself and other senior mentees can provide you with interpretations and things. And so you can find that in, you can go to my website, awakenwithin.us, awakenwithin.us, and the very first link on there will take you there. Or any of the links on any of my social medias will guide you right there, because that's the main thing. It's free. There's other people also trying to like actively transform themselves and accelerate their own self-awareness. And then lots of tools and resources there to help you with that also.
Yeah, I hear that you're doing this through a need, not greed. You're giving it to people to use so you can help people help themselves.
Absolutely.
Noble cause, man. So I see you, spirit side warrior. I honor you as a warrior.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Click on the button and you can become the hero in your own story. It's time to start making the choices to change. And the evolution that you're going to do begins with choosing the next step. This is the way. And together, we're always stronger.